It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and this has been a rough winter in many parts of the country. Illinois is no exception, and the colder weather, especially what we saw back in December, means more people across the state are using more electricity and gas. Those utilities are more expensive than they were last year, thanks to a mix of higher fuel prices and the war in Ukraine. The Federal Energy Information Administration estimated natural gas bills for the winter would spike close to 30% compared with last year, and electricity costs were set to jump 10%. For people who may already have been struggling to keep up financially, those increases could make it that much more difficult to pay their bills. Illinois has specific rules in place around shutting off utilities for non-payment during the winter. And the utility company Ameren Illinois told us in a statement that disconnections are a last resort. We'll have more from that statement a little later in the conversation. Nevertheless, about 285,000 Illinois households were disconnected in the first 10 months of last year. Among the 30 states that make information on disconnections publicly available, Illinois was number one, and not in a good way. That can put already vulnerable communities in an even worse situation. All this is discussed in the latest version of a project called Powerless in the United States, How Utilities Drive Shutoffs and Energy Injustice. And we're joined now by two of the authors of that report, which came out just last week. Selah Goodson-Bell is an energy justice campaigner for the Center for Biological Diversity. Selah, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Matt Casper. He's deputy director with the Energy and Policy Institute, a group that, in its own description, counters misinformation by fossil fuel and utility interests. Matt, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we want to hear from you as ever, especially if increased costs for utilities have affected you. Maybe you or someone you know ended up missing a payment to a utility, or have you even had your service cut off? We'd love to hear from you. What would you like to see on the policy front? 800-222-9455 is the number to call in. 800-222-9455. So, Matt, I want to begin by talking a bit about the driving forces behind disconnections. From the first 10 months of 2021 and last year, electric shutoffs in Illinois rose 26%. Gas connections more than doubled. That's according to your report. Why are we seeing that? What is behind this trend?
Yeah. So what's happening right now is the surge of inflation coupled with the rise in fossil gas. So, we are exporting so much gas that is produced here, primarily from fracking in our country. We're exporting so much of that we've tied that price to the global market, a commodity now. And so when you have global disruptions like the Russian invasion of Ukraine, that put a lot of stress and really caused the price of gas to skyrocket. So the price of gas for at power plants, that went up, and the price of gas to heat our homes and businesses, that's also gone up too. And so what's happened in Illinois is it's just really hit a lot of Ameren customers really hard, again, because of also the inflation. So shutoffs performed by Ameren in Illinois, as you were mentioned, has just gone really, really high over the past few years. Our report found it's a 76% increase since 2021.
Selah, many states, Illinois included, had moratoriums around utility shutoffs during the early part of the COVID-19 pandemic. What do we know about the effects on people as those moratoriums ended and shutoffs started again?
Yeah, I'm glad you raised that. Just to give some background, we know that a lot of these moratoriums began back in March 2020, but most ended in 2021. And so that was a big reason a lot of states saw that spike in shutoffs. In terms of the actual impact on people who were already struggling from, the financial and obviously like personal life and death, like impacts of a public health crisis, arrearages and disconnections force people to make difficult choices about where to put their limited money. And so a lot of these pressures, they force people to sacrifice essential life-sustaining services for goods to pay for energy. This could be for medicine, for nutritious food, or for rent. And we don't believe folks should have to make that decision, especially when it's pretty preventable. And the only reason they're being disconnected at the end of the day is so that utility executives and shareholders can continue to line their pockets. And these are the same utility companies that also received a lot of money during the pandemic from the American Rescue Plan, for example. But those year-over-year increases in their own profits a disproportionate amount was spent on stock buybacks, shareholder dividends, and executive pay, rather than on making energy more affordable and more reliable for their customers.
Sayla, what do we know about who in particular is affected by these disconnections?
Yeah, so with this, in terms of our actual report, we know colloquially that low-income folks and households of color are hit the worst, but we are limited in terms of utility by utility data to actually show that, because not every state requires their utility to provide disconnection data, let alone zip code data, demographic data, et cetera. Illinois is a standout in that they do at least provide zip code data, and they also provide disconnection data on a monthly basis, and make it pretty publicly accessible. But in terms of the impacts of who on a more general basis, we know that although about 1 in 5 American households struggled to pay for an energy bill last year, that rate was about 50% higher for households of color. And one of the reasons that this is the case is because of the legacies of redlining. And so a lot of these households have been concentrated historically in neighborhoods that are subjected to urban heat island effect, for example, which means that it's just a lot more hot, temperatures are higher in those neighborhoods compared to other neighborhoods in the city, usually because of a lack of green space. But they're also living in homes that are structurally deficient, which means that it costs more to heat or cool. And these are also the same households, same communities that are on the front lines of the climate crisis. And so in the wake of heat waves or cold freezes like we saw last December, these households are going to be hit hardest, are going to receive recovery resources usually last and receive a disproportionately low amount. And so it's just going to be a lot harder for them. And that ultimately drives up their energy demand and contributes to their energy burden or the amount that they're spending on a monthly basis on their energy bills. And so the last aspect of this in terms of the ways that these households of color are often getting impacted is that they're also usually fence line communities. And so like Matt was talking about earlier, when we saw that surge in gas exports out of the US, that came with increased investments into fossil fuel infrastructure, like LNG terminals. And this is usually cited in sacrifice zones that are disproportionately inhabited by folks of color, especially Black and Latino and Indigenous folks.
All right, we're going to pick this conversation up when we come back. We're talking with Sayla Goodson-Bell, who's an energy justice campaigner at the Center for Biological Diversity, and Matt Casper, Deputy Director of the Energy and Policy Institute. They are two of the authors of a report called Powerless in the United States: How Utilities Drive Shutoffs and Energy Injustice. We're going to continue this conversation when we return. It's the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about a new report that found energy disconnections, power and gas, had jumped significantly in Illinois. Among the 30 states that make information on these disconnections publicly available, Illinois was number one in that. This is all from a report called Powerless in the United States: How Utilities Drive Shutoffs and Energy Injustice. We're speaking with a couple authors of that report, which just came out last week. Sayla Goodson-Bell is with the Center for Biological Diversity, and Matt Casper is with the Energy and Policy Institute. And you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. What are you seeing with your gas and electricity bill? Are you living this trend we've been talking about? Or maybe you know someone who has faced a disconnection because of these soaring bills. We'd love to hear your perspective at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. So Matt, let's take a step back. Bigger picture, how does our current infrastructure, which still relies on fossil fuel to generate a lot of our electricity, how does that factor into these struggles we're seeing?
Yeah, so right now in Ameren territory, you know, folks, you know, Illinois is a unique state when it comes to the infrastructure, you know, particularly the electric grid. You know, the companies that are serving us, Ameren, ComEd, they don't own the power plants. Ameren Corporation, you know, across the border in Missouri, Ameren does operate plants there. But in Illinois, you know, that's all done through the power agency. But we know in Ameren territory, as coal plants have retired, because those operators don't want to invest more in pollution controls, those coal plants are retiring. And gas plants are filling that void. So right now, gas is you know, making up about 33% of that energy, that electricity mix in Ameren territory, and that is growing. So, you know, what's happening is we're just so reliant now on that fuel. And when these volatile swings happen, you know, we're getting hit really hard. And then it just comes to a matter of the actual infrastructure, the poles and wires, that it just constantly needs repairing and replacing, in large part because of extreme weather. So, you know, parts of the country are all having to pay for higher prices in fuel, but they're also having to pay higher bills because of the restoration that is going on to repair various parts of the electricity grid because of extreme weather events.
You know, Matt, another aspect of this, I wonder, is the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, which Illinois passed in 2021, which will phase out fossil fuel electrical generation units over time. Do you think is that going to have another effect on energy bills in the longer term?
Yeah. So CEJA, you know, puts Illinois on this path towards 100% carbon-free energy by 2045. And what's going to happen is these volatile fossil fuels are going to, you know, get phased down. You're going to have cheap renewables come online paired with battery storage. Now, a lot of other things need to happen. We're in Ameren territory. We're in the wholesale market of MISO. So, you know, a lot is relying on MISO to make sure that we're expanding transmission lines so that we're getting other cheap resources from, you know, wind in Iowa or Minnesota. That's coming along, those new transmission lines to help provide more electricity to this zone. But ultimately, CEJA is expected to reduce bills, and that's why you had consumer advocates support that piece of legislation, you know, groups like the Citizens Utility Board.
All right, let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. Daniel is on line 4 from Decatur. Daniel, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. My question is, why should a power company give me permission to put solar panels on my roof and limit that number?
Okay. Saila, I wonder if you want to take that.
Yeah, I can take a first crack at that. Thank you for your question. One thing that we have seen with a lot of these power utility companies, and probably why you're maybe experiencing some like struggles with them pushing back or obstructing, getting rooftop solar, is that they distributed solar, rooftop or community solar, also, you know, battery storage, these things cut against their bottom line. And so in a lot of states, utility companies are actively obstructing the deployment of these clean energy technologies that are, you know, can drive costs down, reduce people's energy bills, and also make you more reliant, more resilient to extreme weather events. But again, because that's not part of their own centralized infrastructure, that's not something that they can make money off of, even if it's ultimately good for their consumers. And so that is one thing that we're seeing across the country. We're trying to get utilities to be more accountable to their customers and to stop obstructing distributed energy resources like rooftop solar. And it's also an example of why the current utility business model is outdated and not aligned with what customers need or want, and also what we need to mitigate and adapt to the climate crisis. Because again, utilities make money based on their investments into centralized infrastructure. They have guaranteed rates of return, and they have agreements that are tied to these rate hikes that Matt was talking about with the Public Service Commission. And so that's probably why you're seeing this obstructive behavior from your utility. And it's definitely something that we want to continue to spotlight and resist, because we feel like anyone who wants to get a rooftop solar unit should be able to, and that should be not only accessible, but also very like affordable, and that the utility shack should be doing a better job of providing outreach and providing support to customers who are interested in that technology.
Yeah, and it's not just Ameren here. You know, we see the monopoly utility companies do this in so many other parts of the country. You know, a company in Minnesota was just fined $1 million a few years ago for, really slow playing the requests from homeowners and businesses to put rooftop solar on their roofs.
You know, this is a good opportunity, I think, to mention we did reach out to Ameren Illinois for its thoughts, not on the rooftop solar, which was, and thank you, Daniel, for the call in that question, but on the broader subject we've been talking about, which is these utility disconnections rising so much in Illinois. Just this morning, we got a statement from an Ameren Illinois spokesperson who said, quote, "We understand the critical role electric and gas utility services play in the daily lives of our customers, and that is why disconnections are a last resort. To help support our customers in need, Ameren Illinois offers solutions such as energy assistance grants and flexible payment options. Since December 1st, Illinois is also operating within the cold weather rule, as directed by the Illinois Commerce Commission, which helps customers avoid service disconnections when the weather is below freezing during the winter months. We encourage any residential customers needing help with their balances to contact us right away by going to amerenillinois.com/energycareplan or calling us at 800-755-5000. Matt, what do you think of that?
Well, folks definitely should do that. But we know that when the winter moratorium ends in Illinois, disconnections spike. And that's the month of April. So the data just continues to show that with Ameren and then also in the northern part of the state with ComEd. So what really needs to happen is, you know, more funds need to be directed towards LIHEAP. That's the low-income home energy assistance program, also the weatherization assistance program. And we also, you know, it is really required or really needed that the utility regulators should begin to look into different types of payment plans and different types of rate structures, perhaps based on percentage of income, and find more ways to protect consumers from costly fuels. So this is a much different winter than previous seasons. So, you know, it is probably also worth exploring if a new emergency moratorium needs to be in place, similar to the one that was during the height of the pandemic, just to prevent that spike of shutoffs this coming April.
And one thing I wanted to add with that is, even though they say disconnections are a last resort, we found with this that disconnections are completely unnecessary for them to actually, you know, financially operate. It would only take about 1% of the spending that our worst utilities did, the spending that they did on shareholder dividends, to actually prevent their power shutoffs. And these were the utilities that were responsible for about 86% of the power shutoffs we found from 2020 through October of 2022. And so, you know, utility debt in arrearages are one thing, but disconnections comes with a host of social, financial, and health related consequences that we see are completely avoidable, and that the utility industry has enough money to prevent this if it really wanted to. And so ultimately it's up to regulators to address that. But I think framing it in that way can be a little misleading when folks aren't maybe aware of how these utilities are making their money and just how exploitative that process can be.
Only about 5 minutes left in our, maybe in 4 minutes left in our conversation. We are speaking with Selah Goodson-Bell, who's with the Center for Biological Diversity, and Matt Casper with the Energy and Policy Institute, about a report finding that disconnections in Illinois, at least before the winter moratorium this year, had soared last year over the year before. Illinois, in fact, was number one among the 30 states that make this kind of information publicly available. As we're coming to the end of our time together, Selah, I think we touched on this briefly earlier, but even if people can afford the costs of utilities, Ameren Illinois, for example, filed for a gas and electric rate increase, both numbering in the hundreds of millions of dollars. The Commerce Commission is going to look at those requests. Let's say they're approved. What does that mean for people who are right now maybe just barely covering these costs? Do you think disconnection numbers could go even higher?
Yes, we definitely expect disconnection numbers to go higher. And even for homes that aren't ultimately disconnected but do accrue utility debt, that's going to have other impacts in their lives. It's going to make it difficult for them to get loans. It's going to make it difficult for them to maintain employment because it has certain impacts on their credit score. And it can also just come with a sense of personal shame. Folks might not understand just how widespread this issue is and are ultimately getting penalized for being poor, and their opportunities for escaping that poverty are being narrowed, again, just so that these utilities can line their pockets. But we're hoping that this report helps show people how widespread this issue is, and again, how preventable it is. It's just completely unnecessary for folks to be accruing this much debt, especially in the wake of a pandemic, And especially when utilities are doubling down on infrastructure investments, they're just making these bills more expensive for their customers, rather than, again, investing in distributed energy resources, for example, like rooftop and community solar, that can really reduce those energy burdens for folks and also protect them from the impacts of climate change.
Matt, only about a couple minutes left, but we've talked about Illinois' progress toward cleaner energy and the potential long-term cost savings there. You mentioned the possibility of a sort of short-term reimposition of a moratorium as we had during the pandemic. But what else policy-wise are you looking for in the medium term, maybe, from the state of Illinois?
Yeah, other state regulators are opening up different dockets. So at the Illinois Commerce Commission, for example, its peers in California and other states, Minnesota and Michigan, are really examining the contracts, the way that the utility companies are procuring this fuel. Ameren doesn't profit off of the gas that it's buying or the coal that it's buying for its power plants or for heating our homes and businesses. So, but that's still, perhaps that makes them indifferent to how they are going about that business, if they're not going to be really thinking through how to protect customers in the most efficient way. So it's worth exploring those contracts and those hedging practices. And again, I do want to echo, it's important for regulators to thoroughly examine, the rate cases that you just brought up. So Illinois now, didn't always have the best oversight on rate cases. One of the policy changes in CEJA was to just going to increase that oversight at the Illinois Commerce Commission. So that's one other positive that came out of that bill is the regulators there are going to have this opportunity to thoroughly examine the books and the proposals that Ameren has filed just a few days ago.
Matt Casper is with the Energy and Policy Institute. Selah Goodson-Bell is with the Center for Biological Diversity. Thank you both for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, the report, if you want to look it up, is called Powerless in the United States, How Utilities Drive Shutoffs and Energy Injustice. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll bring you a conversation with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth in anticipation of President Biden's State of the Union address, which is set for tomorrow evening. I already recorded that interview. We spoke about Ukraine and abortion and her new role chairing a subcommittee that deals with air transportation in the United States. She's got some plans there. All that is coming up tomorrow on the 21st Show, which is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson and Anaya Jones. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.